Father, we do thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for this time and opportunity to gather together here in this corporate faith, this corporate anointing. And yes, Lord Jesus, we receive the head of the church. You said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so, Lord Jesus, we invite you into this place here today. Yes, we receive the I am. The I am, I will be what I will be, whatever you need. He says, I am. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the healer. I am your provider. I am your victory. So today, by faith, here in this room, there online, whenever you are, wherever you are, there's no time or distance in the spirit. You hook up in faith. You receive this. Amen. You receive that a burden removing, yoke destroying anointing. It is there. The power of God is present to heal you, to touch you, to restore you. Whatever you need, you reach out in faith and you receive it. You receive it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can welcome two or three. Amen. And be seated from there. Thank you, Lord. Yes, those of you watching. Yes, we want to invite you. There on your screen is our website, vlfc.church. Amen. There you can find out more about us. You can go back all of our past messages, the pastor's notes, the audio, the video. It's there for you to watch. Go back and feed on the Word of God. Also want to invite you that we are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe, follow, like, share with friends. Amen. Glory to God. Also want to invite you there on our website is my daily devotional. The Lord, I've had this on my heart for a number of years to write books, in particular to write a 365-day daily devotional. And so late last year, the Lord said, go. And so I've been doing it. Amen. And so we post that on the website every day. Also on the website, there's a link you can sign up to have that emailed to your inbox every day. We're also sharing it on our Facebook page with the link back so you can access it that way. And Lord willing, when I get it finished later this year, we're going to put it in print. Amen. So, and we'll have it right here in the church. And so I'm excited for that. And I've got other books the Lord's already got me dealing with. We're going to get them out too. Amen. With His grace. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to invite you to take advantage of those things. It's all free of charge. Just want to be a blessing to your life. Amen. We are endeavoring to get the word out on every available voice. So again, whether it's in print, whether again it's these recordings, hallelujah, more outlets that we can find to get it out on, we're going to do it. But also, you're a voice. Amen. Say, I'm a voice. Yes, each one of us, we are a voice of victory for Jesus. Glory to God. You are a walking, talking, breathing testimony. Jesus said you are light and you are the salt of the earth. Now go shine. Amen. Go shine. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell him that he is still healing today. He's still saving today. Praise God. Bring him to church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Speaking of, you know, there's studies that show, you know, as far as, you know, advertising and getting people to church, you know, and there's all these other avenues. All of those other avenues comprise of 20% of actually someone coming into church. 80% of the people go to church because someone personally invited them to church. 80%, 4 out of 5, and it costs nothing except just a few moments of your time to invite someone to church. And so I want to invite you. You're all here because you've been blessed by the Word of God and family and fellowship with one another. I want to invite you. You are the best advertisement this church could ever have. Amen. Praise God. Of course, Jesus. You know, we magnify Jesus. But I want to invite you, family and friends, and I know some of you have. I know you all have. But I just want to encourage you in that to invite someone to church. Amen. Someone needs a miracle. Someone needs saving. Someone needs deliverance. Amen. Bring them to church. Amen. We will minister to them. We will preach the word. You know, we will assist them. If they need books, if they need a Bible, we're here. We'll help them with whatever they need to help them grow in their grow in their faith. Also want to invite you, we have openings for volunteers. I know we have volunteers, but we always have need of more. Greeters, the coffee station, ushers, video production. Amen. So we're right now recording these services. We have a couple of cameras. We have, you know, some microphones and these things, you know, and we're always believing for more and better equipment. But we have the capacity right now and have for quite some time to be able to live stream these services. But we do need volunteers to be able to run that live stream. It's actually a pretty simple thing to do, but someone does have to be here on a consistent basis, obviously, to do that. So we need a couple of volunteers for that. Also for the children, Super Kid Academy. We have our youth room right over here. And so we do need more folks to be able to help us to minister to that. Of course, you don't want the same, you know, two folks in there every service. We need to be able to rotate people in and out, you know. So we're asking for volunteers in those areas. So if you have a heart for ministry and the young folks, hey man, we encourage you to come and visit with us about this. We also have in our heart to be able to have different levels of youth ministry, not just the little ones, but as we grow up into teens and even young adults. Amen. We envision seeing that, and also a worship team. We have some instruments. We're also believing God for a keyboard. Amen. And it's coming in Jesus' name, not just anyway. We're going to have a good keyboard. Amen. But it's on the way. So if you have a heart for worship, you know, come and see us about this. Also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a discipleship class, you know, we have pre-service prayer here on Sunday mornings at 9:20, but also we have Friday prayer. We meet in here at 10 o'clock. So even this Friday, you can come join us at 9 to 10 for an hour of prayer. We're praying for one another. We're praying over this church. We're praying over our community. Amen. Praise God. Everything starts and is birthed in prayer. Every move of God has always been birthed in prayer. Hallelujah. Things that you need in your life, they're birthed in prayer. Now, it takes faith, but they're birthed in prayer. Prayer makes a highway for our God to come in and manifest himself in the earth. There's things that have to be dealt with in the realm of the spirit, things that have to be removed, things that we're inviting him in. Amen. So prayer. So on Friday, we're not just praying. We're also spending time to teach you about prayer, especially about corporate prayer. And from there that we can help grow in our prayer life, pray effectively, not just here in this place, so that you can take it back out in your own life 7 days a week to learn and understand how to pray more effectively. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to know how to pray more effectively? Yes. Do you want prayer that gets results? Well, that's what we're here to try to teach you in that as well. Also, again, on Wednesday nights, we've moved into this discipleship class format. So again, here on Sundays, we have been teaching on faith. We've been teaching on miracles. And on Wednesday nights, we started a class here weeks ago called Jesus the Miracle Worker. And we're taking some of these miracles from the gospel accounts and again, dissecting them similar to what we're doing on Sunday, but in a little bit different format. We have a little bit shorter teaching, but from there, we're having group discussion and then we're having ministry labs. This is where we're all pairing up and we're spending time to discuss it with one another, but then also discuss a prayer need and then pray for one another in a very safe place, very simple place. We're here to help one another if we need some help along the way, but we see more of this, not just in the area of miracles. So basically every quarter, what we envision is, okay, we're going to have Jesus the Miracle Worker. We'll have, you know, a quarter of healing school. We can have a quarter on faith. We can have a quarter on foundations of our faith, just, you know, Christianity 101. You know, we taught a series, I believe, 2 years ago now about this time called Faith Foundations. And we went through just the very basics of our faith, righteousness, you know, saving faith, these different types of things. And so, again, we envision this. And even as we go from this building into a bigger building, we envision Wednesday nights being, okay, here's a discipleship class for marriage. Here's a discipleship class for finances. Here's a discipleship class for healing. And again, you're the ones that are going to teach it. Amen. You're the ones who are going to teach that. So again, if you have this on your heart, you know what? I've never done that before, you know, but I believe this is what the Lord would have for me to do. We can come and see us. we'll start coaching you. We'll start working with you. We'll start finding ways to help integrate you into this place so that one day you can lead that group. Amen. Because there's others who have need of what you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I'm one person. I can't be in three classrooms at one time, but this needs to happen. This needs to happen. We need folks that as they're coming into the church, they're coming in with no understanding, or they're coming in with a religious background and they don't understand these things. They need to be brought up in a very short amount of time so we can get them caught up, so now they can be the ones leading the class. Amen. Glory to God. This is faith being perpetuated at all ages. So again, from birth, from the cradle to the grave, there is a ministry for each one of us. You know, even the teenagers, we see them ministering to the younger kids on down the line. So we're not waiting for you to be 30 years old before you can start being effective in ministry. No, you can start as a teenager, you know, ministering to those younger than you on down the line. So again, I'm just sharing that, and that's part of the vision. So speaking of vision, I know here we have these vision brochures that we came out here recently, and they're online. This will be on your screen as well. But we are believing God. So again, this is that we put this together. We are literally preparing a place for His presence. That even what we're doing here today, this building, this is a place that has been prepared to host the presence of God corporately. Hallelujah. So again, this is what we're believing for. He's given us the vision of a ministry campus, which is designed again for every generation, spaces where disciples are formed, families are strengthened, children are equipped, young adults are empowered, and our church family is gathering in worship, in prayer, and in fellowship. So again, we have, you know, the church itself, we have the sanctuary, we have again the nursery, the age-appropriate classrooms, the discipleship, the breakout rooms, men's group, women's group, and of course the fellowship hall. We love fellowship. Hallelujah. Speaking of, this Wednesday night, we're having fellowship. So we're going to stack the chairs up. We're going to pull out the tables and we're going to have fellowship. So there's actually a sign up sheet over here by the door. I would encourage you to come, bring a dish, bring a friend. Amen. We'll have a wonderful time. That is at 6 o'clock this Wednesday night. And as you know, we'll run till about 7:30 or so, and then we'll start winding it down. But again, I want to invite you to come out and just enjoy some good food and fellowship with one another. Praise God. Speaking of the vision itself, we have again, we've shared that on your screen there. But in this current phase, we're believing God for $5,000 to come in by the end of this month to get to help us with. There's a lot of different things that we need to continue this on. Again, we need a keyboard, we need better lighting, we need sign. There's just a lot of little everyday things that we need in here just to kind of get this. And again, we're not trying to break off, here's $2 million and let's just go get it done. You know, we're going to believe in stages. And so again, we believe for these chairs to come in, they came in, glory to God. And so far of the $5,000, we've had 2,120 come in, say praise the Lord. And we're currently believing for $2,880 again to come in by the end of the month. And we know nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, again, this is above and beyond the normal tithe and offering. And so I want to invite you as you're giving, you know, if you want to sow toward that project, again, here online, you can just online, you can select online giving. You can select the drop down general or building, select building fund if you want to give to that. On in the room when you're making out your check or your offering envelope, just write building on there so we know which fund to apply that to, and it will go towards these things. But regarding our offering this morning, I want to share this scripture with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he was taking up an offering. He was taking up an offering to the saints in Jerusalem. They have been heavily persecuted. They've had their stuff plundered. Amen. Now, this is even, you know, we'll see in the early church, you know, Nero, for example, he was taking Christians and he was using them as human torches. He would light his gardens, he would light the streets, literally just burning Christians. I guess he got a big kick out of that. But of course, they're being tossed to the lions and you know, all type of things. But again, he's taken up an offering for the saints specifically in Jerusalem, and then he's writing to Corinth, and he writes to other churches as well. And but he says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let every man give according to the purposes of his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But now hear this, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound or multiply toward you, so that you, always having enough of everything, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower, say that's me, and supplies bread for your food, will also multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Amen. The righteousness, he says, there's a fruit of righteousness, fruit of righteousness. And in this context, he's saying righteousness, the act, an act of righteousness is charitable giving. Amen. He says, verse 11, so that you will be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which makes us give thanks to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but is abundant also through many thanksgivings to God. Hallelujah. So again, he will supply seed to the sower. He will supply seed to the sower. So Paul and I, we determined, you know, before we ever got married, we've been married 12 years now, going on 30. We determined we were tithers and sowers long before we ever got married. And we've been tithing and sowing all of our lives, and we continue in it. But the Lord, you know, dealt with us something here a while back, to sow on every wave. Solomon writes about this over in the book of Ecclesiastes, sowing on every wave. And so we determine every church service, every opportunity, when we go to a conference somewhere, we're always in everything, we're sown on every single wave. Why? It is our desire to advance the kingdom in every possible way. And the reality of that, even if it was here, it takes resources. It takes money to do that. Now, again, there's the favor of God that can come in, but the money's got to come through somebody's hands. So, Lord, use me. Lord, but here's the thing that I really want to point out. He says he will supply seed to the sower, and he will provide bread for you to eat. So again, I'm a sower. Paul and I, we are sowers. So again, we bring offering every single time, because I'm believing that, Lord, you said you'll supply seed to the sower. So he's provided me a seed. Now, again, whether you have a $5 seed or a $1,000 seed, that's as he leads you, as you purpose in your own heart. But I have purpose that I'm going to bring a seed, because I want to receive, Lord, as I provide this seed, you said you will multiply the seed. So in one hand, as I sow one, he's walking right behind me in the realm of the spirit, and he's sowing seed on top of this seed, and then he's multiplying all of that harvest. Hallelujah. Why? This is advancing the kingdom. This is about kingdom business. Praise God. And I want to see it done the way he wants it done. And as Paul wrote, I'm willing to spend and to be spent. Glory to God. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And thank you, Lord. I gave my life back to the Lord in 2010. And from that moment till now, until Jesus comes, I have been sold out. 100% just sold out. I had a well-paying job, making good money. and I sought the Lord, and I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll go do it. Don't care what it is. You know, I'm happy to do anything. Just tell me what to do. And so he told me, you know, leave what you're doing. Go to this church over here. So I moved. So went over here. And then he said, go apply at the ministry. So I applied. And they said, no. And so I sought the Lord again, and they said, nope, I need you to go apply again. I said, Lord, they already said no. He said, go apply. I said, okay. So I applied in obedience. And this time they called me in for an interview. And they hired me. And they paid about that much money. Way less than what I had been normally making. I made some massive lifestyle changes, you know, to even make that fit. And it, and honestly, it was a struggle. You know, it absolutely cost me something. It cost me something, you know, but the Lord, you know, he was faithful. I didn't go without food. I didn't go without shelter. You know, we just had, as Paul wrote, I've learned how to live with money, and I've learned how to live without it. It's better to live with it. Amen. Praise God. But you have to learn how to live in every season, but it was in faith and in obedience. So I literally made my life an offering. I have made my life an offering to the Lord, and everything that I possess in my life belongs to him. That's what led me into ministry. That's what kept me in the ministry. That's what led us to Bible college. That's what led Paul and I together, because she's of the same heart and same mind. Amen. Which I'm so thankful for. That's to find that in marriage is critical. To find someone, you know, who is of the same heart and mind. Amos 3:3 says, how can any two walk together lest they be agreed? You know, we have to both be agreed that we're both going in the same general direction. Amen. Yes, there are going to be some things we have to work out in our flesh, one another along the way, but we have to be agreed that we're going to the same destination. And our destination is to find out what the will of God is and go do it at all costs. Amen. Glory to God. So again, he says, I will supply seed to the sower and I will multiply that seed. So as an act of obedience, we just said, Lord, I want to get in that kingdom flow. When you're talking about finances, you're really talking about a flow. In the kingdom, really everything is about a flow. It's never about this or that. It's not just a random this or that. No, it's a continual flow. We see this talking about a tither over in Malachi 3:10. He says, prove me now in this. Well, he's talking about if you will be faithful to bring the tithe, that is the 10% of your income, into the storehouse, which is the local church. He says, prove me or test me now in this if I'll not do this for you. What is that? I will open the windows, plural, of heaven, and I will just pour. And I'm going to pour. So there's grace for healing. There's grace for provision. There's grace for peace. There's grace for wisdom. So all of these windows of heaven, he says, I'm going to open them up, and I'm just going to be pouring. There's a continual pour. He says, prove me now in this, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There'll not be room enough to receive it. So again, he's not talking about a set amount. He's talking about there's a river. You see it over in Revelation 22. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. It's just a continual flow. And I just envision, out of that river, these windows are just overflowing into my life, overflowing into this church. And I pray over your homes, over your families, whatever grace you need, he's just pouring. He's just pouring. I've got too much healing. So guess what? I've got healing to minister to you. I've got too much provision, so I've got provision for others. Amen. Whatever it is, I'm tapping into a flow from the throne of grace. And how do I do that? I just start where I'm at. You know, I just start where I'm at. Maybe all I have is a dollar. Well, I'm going to tap into that dollar flow. And as I'll tap into that flow, he will increase me. And now I can step into the $5 flow, the $50 flow, the $100. Whatever that is, I can just tap into that flow so that not only my needs are met, not only is all grace abounding towards me, he said you would also have enough grace to abound in every good work. It's always about a flow with God. Always a flow. And when I'm just in that flow, I'm in that river. Amen. So again, that's what I love about a river. A river, you cannot measure the water in a river. In order to measure the water in the river, you have to be able to measure its source. Your source is God. There is an endless flow. There is an endless supply. So it's never about, you know, that was my last $50. And, oh my. No, there's a flow. I'm not looking at that seed. I'm looking at my source. I'm looking at that supply from which it comes from, which is more than enough. So my faith, my trust is in Him alone. It's always tapping into looking at the source. Lord, I receive. I receive the super abundance of grace. I receive all of this. I think I have more than enough healing, not just for me, but I'm ministering the healing to somebody else. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's long enough. Information's on your screen. Again, there's envelopes under the seat and back in front of you. Again, building fund, just right, building on that. Make checks payable to VLFC, and you may receive the offering. Praise God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Let's open in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into today's message. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of miracles. And Lord, we thank you that word says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Lord, we thank you if you were the God of miracles that we've been reading about, studying about, then you are the God of miracles. And we receive it here in our lives today and in all the days to come. We receive that. And Lord, we yield ourselves. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to the word of truth this morning. And Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, we receive. You are breathing on this word. You're breathing on this word. And Lord, I'm asking you for utterance to boldly proclaim the mysteries of the of God, of this gospel. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are unfolding that word to each one of us today. Lord, in this room, those of us online, we receive you are making this word revelation knowledge to us. Lord, that we might have the faith of God in us, that we might rise up and declare it boldly and receive our miracle, receive our healing, receive our breakthrough, not just for us, Lord, but for others. And we thank you for this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. It's always about others. It's always about others. Yes, God, He wants everybody saved. He wants everybody healed. But understand this, you are saved to serve. After you got born again, the whole reason you are now here and remain on this earth is not about you. It's about others. If it was just about you, let's go to heaven. Amen. It's far better to be in glory right now. Hallelujah. Than all the days on this earth does not compare to a moment in heaven. But I'm here not for self, but for others. So again, we live our lives in the service of the King. I'm healed. Not just so I can, you know, enjoy more football and TV and, you know, fishing. You know, that's fine. You're going to have some hobbies and you're going to enjoy some of those things, but that's not why. I'm healed so that I can go out and get my job done. I'm blessed financially so I can be a major blessing. You know, Paul and I, we're believing for things. We are absolutely believing for things for this church. Yes, in our own lives, but why? Blessed to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Not just in this church, but in our community. Amen. We have the baby bottle boomerang for Pathways, a local nonprofit. They exist for pro-life purposes, you know, to help people to, number one, promote life, choose life, and then help provide practical resources for them after the fact. We want to be a blessing to that, you know, and all these other things. We're blessed to be a blessing. It's not just about seeing how much I can get. I got me a bigger boat and a bigger house and nicer suit. And that's wonderful. God gives you all things richly to enjoy, but that's not the real purpose. The purpose is blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So I want to look at this miracle here with you today. And the title of this message is called, If You Can Believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to, yes, let's do this now. If you got your Bible with you, hard copy, soft copy, whatever you have there online, do the same. Hold it up big. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I want to look here in this miracle. It's just the boy whose dad brings him to the disciples, then brings him over to Jesus. The boy has a demonic spirit who's been trying to kill him. But there's three accounts of this miracle in Mark, Matthew, and then Luke. We're going to read the passages from Mark and then Matthew today, and then we're going to just dissect this miracle. But Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29, when they returned to the other disciples. So we had some disciples returning to other disciples. They saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Can you say strive? All right. Verse 15, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were filled with awe and ran to greet him. What are you disputing with them? He asked. Someone in the crowd replied, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a spirit that makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long must I remain with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and seeing Jesus, the spirit immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. That's quite a scene, wouldn't you say? Jesus, calmly, this is going on, but now he turns to the boy's father. How long has this been with him? From childhood, he said. It often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. I was reminded of this. There was a missionary, or there is a missionary, called Terry Mize. And I got to sit under his teaching a few times, but he was sharing, and he's up in years now. He's been in ministry 50 years or more, but he was ministering early on in ministry. He went down to South America into the jungle, and even from 18, he knew he was called to be a missionary. So he went, and he encountered early in ministry. There was a young girl, and he's back in the jungle, in the bush, and she is chained to a tree, teenage girl. And so he's like, what in the world is this all about? And the dad comes and tells him. It's the exact same thing as what's happening right here. This little girl, if she got loose, she would run towards the river to go throw herself in it and drown. Same thing, if she could get loose, she would try to throw herself in the fire to kill herself. It's just, you see these things, and literally the scripture came alive in that moment of what was happening. It's the same devil doing the exact same thing. So again, the devil doesn't have any new tricks. We saw this over in Ephesians 6, that the scripture, Paul was writing, talking about principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. There are levels of demons. But these levels of demons, they are assigned specific tasks. And over the centuries, over millennia, they have been doing the exact same. So this demonic spirit here is the exact same demonic spirit that was doing the same thing for thousands of years. They're assigned to specific tasks in a rank and file order. Anyway, just interesting, you know, just to seeing some of these things and how it operates. Verse 8, so from childhood, he said, it often throws him to the fire or into the water trying to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can, echoed Jesus. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the crowd had come running, he rebuked the unclean spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out and never enter him again. After shrieking and convulsing him violently, the spirit came out. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said he is dead. Maybe he did die. But either way, Jesus took him by the hand, the resurrection himself, and raised him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus answered, "This kind cannot come out except by prayer." Now let's look at Matthew, and then we'll start getting into this. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long must I remain with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Afterward, the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Now, here's what Matthew adds to this that Mark didn't quite include, and that is, "Because you have so little faith." Not that you have no faith, it's just that you said you have little faith. Now, again, we're going to take notice here. Jesus is always talking to people about faith. The disciples, "You couldn't do it because you had little faith." You'll see how many times in the Gospels does Jesus speak to his disciples specifically, "little faith, little faith, little faith," over and over and over. Now, he'd also praised Peter in one sense. When Peter came to walk with him on water, he commends him, but then he also goes back, "Little faith, why'd you doubt? You were doing great. Hey, man, you were operating in great faith. And then you took your eyes off of me, you looked at the wind and the waves, and then you started to sink. Why did you do that?" Again, he's always talking to them about faith. The man, he talks to him again about faith. Well, we'll see more about this today, but really, I want to highlight this. He answered, "For truly, I tell you, if you have faith," so again, he's working on their faith, "if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." He didn't say nothing it will be impossible for me. He says, no, you will say, and it will not be impossible for you. "But this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." We're going to see more about that phrase today as well, because that has been widely misinterpreted. I've heard it myself a lot of different ways. Well, we're going to look at that today. It's quite simple. Looking at this, some miracles in the gospel reveal the power of Jesus. Some reveal the compassion of Jesus, but this miracle, along with a few others, reveals something a little bit deeper, the process of faith inside a struggling believer. We've all been there. Maybe we're there today. But looking at this, the father who brings this boy, he's not rebellious. He's not being disrespectful. He's not resistant. He is desperate. And I just can imagine putting yourself in this man's shoes. That's tough, especially in this day and age. Again, you know, the missionary Terry Myers in the jungle, you know, whatever that was, 50, 60 years ago, you know, your daughter's chained to a tree. What, I mean, you don't have another option, you know. You know, today they would put her in a padded room and, you know, sedate her, you know. Natural medicine would do that. But they didn't have this luxury. They don't have this option either. And again, you talk about constant watch. Either this boy is somehow chained up and contained for his own good, or someone else, you've got a team of people around him 24/7 just to try to make sure he doesn't kill himself. That's tough. That's got to be really, really, really tough. He's desperate. Desperation has a way of exposing what we believe and what we don't. Now, this miracle is not only about a boy being delivered. This miracle is not just about a father. It really has more to do with the father himself being discipled. It has to do with his faith being purified. It has to do about his unbelief being confronted. We have to confront unbelief in our life. We have to be honest with ourselves. A lot of people, when we start teaching faith, they start pretending they're someplace that they're not. This miracle is about Jesus showing us that faith does not have to be monumental. You don't have to have epic faith in order to be effective or powerful. It does have to be surrendered to Jesus. Amen. We have to come to Jesus with all the faith we have and to be honest with Him and allow Him to help us. Again, John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Word Himself, He says He will lead you, He will guide you unto all truth. There's no good in pretending with Him anyway. Lord, this is where I'm at. You know that's where I'm at. Now, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. He will help you. He'll show you, you know what? You need to get this out of your life because this is a hindrance to your faith. He will tell you, we need to spend more time meditating on these scriptures. We need to spend more time with whatever it is, you know, coming to church, being faith. He'll show you what those steps are to help your faith get to where it needs to be so that you can experience your breakthrough. It's not about, none of these miracles are about Jesus's power, Jesus's authority alone. Jesus says, no, I need your faith. This is according to your faith, not my ability. This doesn't happen in and of my own ability anyway. Jesus said, I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Him do. It's not me. It's the Father dwelling in me. He does the work. Now, all Jesus is doing is acting in faith, in obedience to that revelation. So again, we taught on the subject of faith here for months, starting from September till January, February of this year. And what we discovered in all of this, if you want to sum it up, faith is obedience to revelation. And we saw this in the very first miracle in Cana, the water into wine. Mary turns to these servants and says, boys, whatever Jesus tells you to do, you go do it. They did. And they got to participate in an awesome miracle. That's the whole key to everything. Hear from God. Hear what He is saying to you about this situation. Do what He says. It will manifest itself. That's exactly what Jesus did. That is the formula, if you want to call it. Find out what the will of God is. Find out what He says to you to do. And go do it. Do it in faith. Well, so say to this mountain, go over here, go dip in the stream, go scoop some water out of the well and fill the pot, take it to the master of ceremonies, and somewhere along the way, it turned into the best wine they've ever had. That's a miracle of luxury. That was a miracle of provision. If you have a need, seek the wisdom of God. Hey, Peter, you're a fisherman. Go over here, throw your hook in the water. You're going to catch a nice big fish and there'll be a piece of gold in its mouth to pay mine and your taxes. And you got dinner. Only the wisdom of God. So instead of go work for 3 weeks to try to come up with some tax money, just go enjoy yourself out by the lake this afternoon. Go catch some fish. Sweatless victory. Sweatless. Only the wisdom of God could produce that result. Amen. That's the key to miracles. Hear from Him. Operate in the faith you got and put it to work. So we're going to look here at a few things. Number one, the God part, what Jesus brought to this situation. So again, Jesus arrives on the scene of chaos. So you've got some disciples over here. You've got other disciples coming in. And now there's the scribes, the doctors of the law. And they got into a heated discussion with some of these disciples. These same disciples are the one who couldn't cast the boy out. Now, again, Jesus addresses their faith, but this we all also know, faith works by love. I cannot be in strife and operating in the flow of the Spirit. I cannot minister deliverance to you while yielding to the devil. So the scribes obviously had enticed them into something. Who knows what they're disputing about? That's not the whole point. The whole point is they were in strife. And they're trying to now cast the demon out of this boy. No, you can't do it. I cannot rebuke the devil while yielding to the devil. That's really important to know. Again, the scripture tells you faith works by love. Amen. I cannot have, you know, the devil and Jesus, you know, one on each shoulder, so to speak, and I'm yielding to both of them somehow at the same time and getting effective results in the kingdom. It won't work. All right. Disciples are striped, they're arguing, the crowd is all stirred up, the boy is tormented, the father is desperate, but Jesus steps onto this scene of chaos with authority. Now, who is Jesus? Scripture says he is the Prince of Peace. He's the same one that spoke, "Peace be still," to a hurricane, and all of a sudden there was not a wind in sight. It was perfectly calm, the sea was like glass. Peace, also make note of over in Galatians 5, peace is one of the nine fruits of the Spirit that is resident on the inside of every believer. The Prince of Peace is now resident on the inside of you, the believer. Now, even in the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:3 says, "I will keep him in perfect peace." Not just some peace. Again, imagine the Sea of Galilee. There was a hurricane, and the next moment, the sea was like glass. There wasn't even a little breeze. Perfect peace. You can have great chaos. You can step into a room of chaos and experience and declare the peace of God, and you can receive that peace today. Why? Your peace is not out here somewhere. Your peace is on the inside of you. All you've got to do is yield to the greater one. All you've got to do, greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I will keep him in perfect peace. Who is it? Whose mind is stayed on me. I'm not meditating on the situation. I'm not meditating on the circumstances. I'm not meditating on how big that mountain is. I'm meditating on how big he is. And I'm just keeping my eyes on Jesus. They're just fixed on Jesus. If he tells you to keep them stayed on him, then it's possible that they could be stayed on something else. He says, no, turn your attention away from and on to Jesus. He says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. And if you'll continue in that, you will have perfect faith. Amen. Because I'm not considering anything else. I'm only considering him. I'm only considering how big he is, how great he is. Aha. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus reveals the real issue, which is unbelief. The Father says, if you can do anything. So I was imagining, how many of you ever played hot potato? Hot potato. You get a potato really, really hot, and then y'all get in a group, and then you start, the kids, you know, we'll pitch it around to one another. You know, how long do you want to hold this thing? Not very long. So you pitch it, and you pitch it. So this is what happens. This man comes and says, Jesus, hot potato. If you can do anything, Jesus takes that hot potato, pitches it right back and says, no. If you can believe, if you can believe. Again, the issue is never Jesus's ability. The issue was with the Father's confidence in that ability. The issue is unbelief. Jesus is calling him out publicly not to shame him. He's calling him out to invite him into a greater level of faith. He's working with his faith here. If I can do anything, if I can do anything, hot potato back, all things are possible to him who believes. I need your faith. I need your faith. Again, Jesus, we're going to look here. He delivers the boy completely. One command, the unclean spirit leaves. The boy collapses. Crowd thinks he's dead, but Jesus just takes him by the hand and raises him up. Now, I want to see here what what man's part was, the father's part. The father, number one, had to bring his son to Jesus. So he was looking for Jesus. The disciples were there, so he brought them to disciples. They failed. They failed. Now, the situation to the father is really seeming more hopeless. Now, he's heard about people getting delivered. He's heard about people getting free. That's why he brought him to the meeting. But he brings them over here to the disciples. Of course, they're in strife and they don't have, you know, Jesus says you had little faith, you know, so they're unable. So now it's like, oh, no, oh, no, this maybe isn't going to work today. And I've got to have some relief. My boy, what are we going to do? Situation seems even more hopeless. Which even now we see the boy convulsing violently, he still brings him to Jesus. So I want to note here, faith is not the absence of struggle. Well, I'm struggling. I got this thing. That doesn't mean you're not, that doesn't mean you don't have any faith at all. I don't let the devil tell you that. Again, don't focus on those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. But again, faith is not the absence of struggle. Faith is simply movement toward Jesus in the midst of a struggle. Again, Jesus, I'm keeping my mind, my eyes fixed on you. I'm going to stick with Jesus. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Well, I didn't get my microwave miracle, so it must not have worked. I must not have faith. It must not be His will. I haven't fasted enough. I haven't prayed enough. On and on. Again, the devil will bring you all types of accusations. And if you yield to that, if you take your eyes off of Jesus and start focusing on that, you're done. You're done. But no, stay with it. Just keep moving toward Jesus. Just keep moving towards Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The Father, He has to admit His weakness. So the Lord calls Him out. So again, Jesus, if you can do anything, no, all things are possible, Dad, if you will believe. If you will believe. So then He immediately, that pricks His heart. He immediately cries out, well, Jesus, I do believe. I do believe. But I do have some unbelief. That's a very honest statement. That's probably one of the most honest confessions you'll find in all Scripture right there. I believe. I have faith, but I know it's weak. I know it's not enough. I know I'm struggling here. I've been living with this for 13 years, however many years. I've been living with this, and I'm struggling. I know. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He has to admit His weakness. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now look here. Faith is strengthened not by pretending you have faith in what you do not have, but by bringing the faith you do have to Jesus and allowing Him to work it out with you. I have seen over the years, I've had a lot of one-on-one ministry experience. And especially people that have learned some things about faith and confession. And I don't want to say the bad thing. I just want to, because, I'm snared by the words of my mouth. So again, they start figuring out stuff in their head and they start doing all these mental gymnastics, where words and all this stuff are concerned. And to them, and even to others around them from a distance, it can all sound like faith. And yet it's not. The issue is faith is of the heart, not the head. And too often people start hearing some of these things and they stay in their head. Well, if I do 1, 2, 3, I get X, Y, Z, and everything stays in this mental reason realm without the heart faith, the force of faith behind it. So again, we think about this, the name of Jesus. All authority, all power. Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, I will do it. He says, all that I am. You're talking about resurrection life, whatever it is, I am. And yet so many people throw the name of Jesus around all day, every day, and they're not seeing any power. Even in the world, they take the Lord's name in vain left and right. No power. Believers in the church use the name. And, they'll pray in Jesus' name, amen, but there's no faith behind it. It's all a head thing. It's all a head thing. And you can do this on any level. Again, it's not about necessarily just saying the right words or just the right things. No, I need the heart faith behind it. That there is a force of faith that comes out of your spirit, man. When I now say what God says and I'm calling things the way He calls it, not out of my head, but out of my spirit. I'm calling this because I see it and I know it to be so. This is faith that is of the heart. So again, Paul uses this over in Romans chapter 10. He says, this is the word of faith which we preach, verse 8. He says, if he uses salvation as the analogy to that, he says, if you will believe in your heart, not the head, if you believe in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus out of your mouth, you will be saved. That's all there is to it. Not my head, my heart. Faith is of the heart. Glory to God. Thank you. Let me get back on track here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Where were we? Again, faith is strengthened not by pretending you have faith you do not have, but by bringing the faith you do have to Jesus and allowing him to work it out with you. Acknowledge the fact that, you know what, Jesus, I know I believe this, and I'm halfway there. I'm part of the way there. Lord, help me with this other part. Show me this. If you will come to him in that, now we're talking about, that's prayer. That is actually prayer. Again, what is prayer in its simplest form? It is communion with God, a two-way conversation with God. Prayer is not what most people think it is. There is a prayer petition that's one of many forms of prayer, but they think, oh God, if you know, would you please get the devil off my back? Oh God, would you please move this mountain? Oh God, could you, would you? Amen. Jesus' name. And they just walk away and leave. Well, if it's his will, he'll do it. I mean, God's in control. God can do anything. That's what this man said. If you can do anything, do it. And just like, it's not up to me. It's not just about me. It's about your faith. All things are possible to you who believes. Oh, Lord, I get it. Oh, Lord, I believe, but I have some unbelief. That's the most honest thing you said all day. Now we can work from that place. Amen. Glory to God. So again, the Father, he has to release control. The Father now has to trust Jesus with his boy. Faith will always will require your surrender. What are you saying? I don't got this. Jesus, I know you got this. And Lord, if you'll show me what to do, if you'll show me how to handle this situation, if you will show me what I need to say to this mountain, I know it will be removed. All I need is a word from you. All I need to do is hear from you. Help my faith today. Help me be strong today to know how to handle specifically this mountain, this situation. Hallelujah. Jesus draws him into partnership. He says, if you can believe. So again, Jesus, will notice, ministers to the man before he ministers to the boy. The boy over here is having a big convulsion. He's having a big old fit. This is just going on. As Jesus turns to the Father, how long has this been going on? He starts ministering to this man. Why? I'm not doing this apart from your faith. I need your faith to hook up with me to minister to this boy. Huh. He's pulling on his faith. He's encouraging his faith. Again, your faith matters. It always matters. It's that, it's what's going to make the difference. It's what's, your faith is what's going to make the connection. Your faith is what is going to reach over into the realm of the spirit and appropriate the kingdom of heaven into this natural realm. All of this is a finished work in Christ. For you and I on this side of the cross, freedom, deliverance, healing, provisions, all of that is a finished work. Jesus does not need to come back and do anything more. It's done. He said in 1 Peter 2:24, by my stripes, you were healed. What I did at Calvary was enough for you today. Just because you got sick doesn't mean I need to do anything more than what I've already done. He died once for all time for all men who will simply believe it. Romans chapter 9 and 10. You can look it all up there. Wonderful passage. All of it's a finished work. All of it is a finished work. All I need to do is by faith reach over and receive it. So again, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you're born again. The greatest miracle known to mankind is the salvation. I was a dead spirit on my way to eternity in the lake of fire. In a moment of time, I confessed Jesus. I became a new creation in Christ. The Godhead literally moved into your spirit. And in the realm of the spirit, you right now are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Amen. All of that's finished. It's done. Now, Paul writes over in Ephesians 4, writing to the church at Ephesus, who had experienced a major revival, and yet they let some things slip. He says, hey, why have you gone back? You're now living as mere men. I did not teach you Christ this way. You need to go back and you need to put on Christ. You need to clothe yourselves with Christ. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Amen. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. Who he is, I am. Glory to God. And now start living from that place. Stop living as a mere man, you know, just trying to get by as you once did. No, you are not what you used to be. You're not who you used to be. Hallelujah. I live from this place. I live from my seated eternal position at the right hand of the Father in Christ. Romans 5:17 says, we reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Now, I can remain ignorant of that place. I can choose not to take my seat of authority. I can choose to just let my words just drive me here, there, and the other as a mere man. And I can live in those results far below my privileges, not find out what the will of God is for my life, much less get any of it done. You know, and now my ticket to heaven is punched. And I'm going to stand before Jesus any day now. And he's going to say, well, or... well done. Well done. Amen. That's what we're here for. We're here for the well done, not the oh well. Glory to God. That's all extra today. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So again, most Christians, instead of using their faith and their authority to command the victory they already possess in Christ, they're instead praying to God, hot potato, and asking him to do something about it, and then just leaving it all up to him, which is not what Jesus demonstrates, not what he teaches here or anywhere else, and it's not what he's commanded us to do. He said, no, you go in my name, you go preach the gospel. I can't go preach the gospel. I'm in heaven. I'm in the realm of the Spirit. You're the ones here on the earth. You're the one who has dominion. The domain of the earth itself has been delegated to you back in Genesis chapter 1. God never took it back. The authority in the earth was delegated back unto you in Genesis 1. God never took it back. It always has belonged to the man. So when God wants to operate in the earth, he has to do it through you, the man. You're the one with dominion. You're the one with the authority. That's why he needs your faith in your mouth. You believe it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth. It'll be done. All things are possible to him who believes. It's not up to me. It's up to your faith. It's according to your over and over. Look at this over and over and over. According to your faith, according to your faith. If you can believe it, it'll be possible for you. Amen. Never does it say, pray to me about it and I'll do something if I get time or if it's my, no, it's his will. It's his will. You got it. Now, Jesus, we see he models this because he has flesh and blood. He's in this earth. He's able to do this as a model example for you and I to follow here today. Thank you, Jesus. Faith dynamics. What this miracle teaches us about faith. So we see here the Father, faith and unbelief. And I want to make note here, you can have faith in your heart and thoughts of fear in your head. It's possible. The devil's a very real devil. I can be renewing my mind, and it's possible that the devil can also be there trying to tell you a different story, trying to give you a different lie. But greater is he who's in me. So the word said in James 4:7, submit to God, submit to the word. You resist the devil. Again, don't pray to me about the devil. You resist the devil. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. Satan, it's written. You get. You resist him. And the Bible says in James 4:7, he, the devil, will flee from you. If and until you will speak to that cancer, if and until you will speak to that devil, if and until you will speak to that mountain, it'll never move. You can pray to God about it all day long, and it won't make a heap of difference. Here's the truth. He does not have the dominion. He does not have the authority in this earth. You do. Now, when I will, again, we looked at this, we're studying about faith. This came out over and over and over again. You'll see it in the New Testament. The word is homologio. When I will, homo means the same. Logio means speech or to speak. He says, when you will agree with God, when I will say what God says with the faith of God behind it, the word will always work for me the same as it worked for Jesus in the earth. That's how it works. Again, Jesus pointed out, I'm not here as Son of God in deity doing these works. That's why I spent so much time in prayer. Jesus, again, he's spending all night in prayer, getting up way early in the morning in prayer. He's getting out into a deserted place. What is he praying about? It's not what he's praying about, it's who he's praying with. He's just spending time talking with his daddy. He's just spending time talking about how you know, sharing life, sharing thoughts. Father's showing him these things to come in the day. And even throughout the day, Father's just ministering to him, showing him these things. And he's just flowing in perfect faith. And so he says, as I hear. Where did he hear it? In prayer. He says, as I hear, I do it. As I see the Father do it. I know. In my life, so many times, and you'll, if you're sensitive to it and you'll start yielding to it, you'll see it more and more. You'll just see yourself doing something. I just see myself going up and giving them some money. I just see myself going over them and just being a witness to them. I just see myself doing this over here. And again, it's just this still small voice on the inside of you that just this prompting, just this unction. 1 John 2:20, we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. Holy Spirit, he will give you an unction. You will have a knowing. I just need to go do this. I just need to go over here and say this. I just need to go do that. As you'll do it, that's how Jesus functioned. It's not that he just necessarily had an open vision all day, every day. I mean, maybe he did, but there's no record of that. He had an unction from the Holy Spirit. He just knew, I need to go over here. I need to go. I've been ministering over here. I need to get in with my disciples. We're going to get in the boat. We're going to cross the Sea of Galilee to go minister to this demoniac. One man, not even a Jew, no covenant. He is bound by a legion of demons. He went over there. He ministered to that one man, and then he went all the way back. How did he know to do that? He had an unction. God showed him what to do. And maybe he saw everything before he got there, you know, but I know in my life, I don't. I generally see one or two steps. Go do that one, and as I go, I get more revelation. Abraham, the father of faith, get up from among your family. His family was worshiping the moon. Abraham's, they were moon worshipers. God gets a hold of him and says, hey, go to a land I'm going to show you. He didn't get the whole revelation. He just had to get up and start going. And as he went on this journey, he got more and more revelation and more revelation and more revelation. Hallelujah. I didn't know 15 years ago I was going to be in Ogallala, Nebraska. Amen. Praise God. But again, he'll keep showing you the next step and the next step as we're faithful. As we're faithful with the one, we'll get the next and we'll get the next, and it just gets better and better, gooder and gooder all the time. Glory to God. So you can have faith in your heart and thoughts of fear in your head, but cast out the fear. Get rid of it in the name of Jesus. So again, the Father has both, but he brings both of them to Jesus. He says, Lord, here's all the faith that I have right now. And Lord, I know I've got some unbelief, but help me. Help me. So he's reaching out to Jesus in faith. He wasn't in faith originally. Originally, he says, if you can do anything, he put it 100% on Jesus, none on him. Most Christians try to do the exact same thing. Don't do that. Jesus needs and he requires your faith. He's always, always, always teaching them about faith. Faith is your response to the word. Faith is your response to the word. Lord, I believe. But Lord, help me with the rest of this part. So again, Jesus reaches out to him and that corporate faith, that corporate anointing, and says, all right, we're here to bring us the whole way. And I want to share this with you. There's a whole lot of folks. So again, Matthew 18, 19, the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement. Let's just turn over there right quick. Matthew 18, 19. There's a lot of examples. Again, one to put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000. There's times that you need the help of others. Again, this is in part why we assemble in church. Matthew 18, 19 says, again, I say to you that if two of you will agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. Why two? Because one of them didn't have enough faith. It wasn't that they had no faith, but they needed somebody else. I need a faith buddy right now. I know you got faith. Let's come together. Let's turn over. I put it in our notes, I believe. James chapter 5, verse 14, 15 says, again, he's writing to the church, is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So what do we really have here? Is anyone among you sick? What are you saying here? Are there any baby Christians in one sense? Are there those who haven't yet developed their faith in the area of healing? Maybe you, again, not that you have no faith, but again, this is still going to require you to have an act of faith. Number one, you call for the elders. So, brother, sister, so-and-so, I've got something going on in my body. I've got something going on in my life. And I believe, but I need some help. Would you help me? Come on, Victory Life. Will we help them? Yes, we're going to help them. But again, you have to call with the faith that you have. And it takes faith just to call someone else and say, hey, I need to join up with me. Don't do the hot potato. Hey, you know, I know you can pray real good, so if you could pray for me, I'd appreciate it. No, we need your faith. Just give me the faith you got. You know, and while you're at it, talk to them about the unbelief that's going on in your life. Be honest. We're not here to judge. We're here to help. Amen. So again, he says, call for the elders. This does not mean pastor. Not that you can't call the pastor. That's fine. But he says, call for the elders. Call for someone else in the church who's been walking in the faith, who knows something about this, who can help you. Your faith, their faith, y'all can hook up together. He says, now the prayer of faith will save the sick. And again, what is the prayer of faith? It's not necessarily what a lot of people think it is. This is, again, not hot potato. Oh, God, we're asking you, would you please heal my brother? Would you please heal my sister? You will not find that. Jesus never does that. Jesus commands healing. Again, if you were healed by his stripes, what I need to ask him to send healing? He's already sent it. Healing has already been sent. I don't need to ask him, Lord, please heal brother, sister, so-and-so. No. All he's going to do is repeat back to you, Rodney, by my stripes you were healed. Oh, God, would you please send healing? Rodney, by my stripes you were healed. And as long as I just keep praying, he's just going to keep responding the exact same way. And I will not experience my healing. Well, I'm in faith, aren't I? Not really. I have to command it. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, sickness, disease, weakness, pain, it is written, you were defeated there at Calvary. I command you, take your hands off of God's property. You be removed. You be cast into the sea. Don't you ever come back. In Jesus' name, amen. That is the prayer of faith regarding that situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, again, we need agreement sometimes. Again, this is where corporate faith is really important. And again, this isn't just about you being able to go to someone else and receive it. You need to be the elder. You need to be the one that someone else can come to that's struggling and say, brother, sister, I need some help. And I believe the Lord led me to you. And I believe that we can receive this. Amen. Praise God. You know, when I read scripture, we go through all these miracles. You know, and someone had asked the question about this years ago, and you know, you have to think about it for yourself. Who do you see? Woman with the issue of blood. When you read that miracle, stop and think about it. When I read that, did I see myself as the woman with the issue, or did I see myself as the master? when he shows up at Jairus' house? Do you see yourself as one of the disciples? Do you see him as the parents? Do you see them as the daughter? Or do you see yourself as Jesus? Amen? It's okay if you're the daughter. It's okay if you're the woman with the issue of blood. But I would encourage you, see yourself as Jesus. That's what he's called you to do. John 14 says, greater works shall you do also, because I go to the Father. Amen? He has called us to continue his ministry works, doing them the exact same way that he did them. It's okay if you're the one who needs healing today. Receive your healing. Grow up in faith and now be that one, be that answer for somebody else. This is a big reason why we have a church. And not, we're just not all at home, you know, just me and Jesus in my own prayer closet. That's enough. That's a lie. We need one another. We need one another. The scripture tells us over in Hebrews chapter 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day, which is the day of his return, approaching. We have need of one another. There's a corporate anointing that we have here that you will not experience anywhere else. There are assignments, there's breakthroughs that you will experience in the local church you will never experience anywhere else. Amen. We need one another. We need to be that elder. We need to be that one who can go to that elder. Hallelujah. We need one another. Praise God. He has called us as a family. The scripture says in Ephesians, he places every member in the body as it pleases him. Amen. So again, we all need to be hearing from God. Where has he called me to be? What church has he called me to be a part of? And wherever he's called me, I'm going to go plug in. I'm going to find out what my part is, and I'm going to run that race. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, where were we? We're closing. Faith must be honest. So again, we're looking at the faith dynamics, what this miracle teaches us. Faith must be honest before it can be strong. Breakthrough begins where your pretending ends. Again, too many times people are trying to pretend they are where they're not in their faith. And I tell you, the biggest thing that I really see where this is concerned is trying to ride on someone else's faith. Well, they did it. It worked for them this way. And so I'm just going to do it that way and I'm going to get results. That doesn't work that way. They heard from God. They were obedient to the revelation he gave them. That is the way it worked. Well, I saw these three steps that they took. And so I know if they did it, it'll work for me too. No, you're missing the real step. I heard from the Father. What he said, do, I did. That's what works. And that kind of faith, you're only going to get through the word and from hearing from God for yourself. Hallelujah. Faith is strengthened through intimacy. Again, Jesus said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and by fasting. Just real quickly, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, these are not merit badges. These are not things where I have earned the right. I fasted for 3 days, I fasted for 40 days, and now this is going to move God. Prayer and fasting does not move God. Prayer and fasting does not merit you anything. Prayer and fasting brings you into alignment with him. It gets you clear to hear. Spend time in prayer. So when I'm spending time in prayer and fasting, I'm removing the hindrances. I'm removing the distractions. And I want to encourage you, fasting is not just food. You don't necessarily have to fast food to fast. And I would say in this day and age, the bigger thing, maybe not so much the food, turn off your phone, turn off your TV, turn off all these other voices, turn off all the other distractions, and don't just replace that time with a different hobby. Replace that time with, I'm getting quiet before the Lord. Go rent you a cabin out by the lake. Go somewhere different. Go pitch a tent. Do something. Separate yourself. Get quiet. I'm going to spend this time, Jesus. I've dedicated these next 3 days. I don't have any other agenda but to hear from you. I just want to commune with you. And I'm going to tell you this, especially if this is brand new for you, it might take you a good 3 days just to finally get quiet and start to get somewhere. You know, just to quiet your mind, because all of these thoughts, all of these things, it takes time just to clear out that clutter so I can get clear to hear. That's what prayer and fasting will do for you. It'll get you clear to hear that revelation that you need. So now I know what to say. I know what to do so I can now experience the breakthrough. And again, having that honest conversation, Lord, and again, this is part of that prayer. Lord, I believe, but I know I got unbelief. I know I'm struggling about this. Show me, help me. And I'm going to spend as long as it takes until I hear from you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Faith is strengthened through intimacy. Prayer and fasting do not earn power. They align us with the one who has all the power. Amen. And now furthermore, faith speaks even when you might be shaken. This father's voice, amen, in a manner, so it cracks. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. He's still releasing all the faith that he has. Lord, I believe. I do believe. Now help me with the rest of this. Amen. Sometimes the most powerful faith is the faith that still speaks even when you have thoughts of fear. Again, your victory is won through your words. I'm declaring it. I'm in the midst of all of this. I'm rising up with a voice of victory. I'm rising up with a voice of authority, and I'm declaring it. I know my faith isn't perfect, but I'm going to use the faith that I have, and I'm just going to keep moving towards Jesus. It's not about whether or not you got your microwave miracle. Just hold fast to it. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, hold fast your confession of faith. It has great recompense of reward, which means if I've got to hold fast, that means it didn't come instant. But if I'll stick with it, if I will just stick with it and I just keep walking towards Jesus, Lord, I know you're doing a work in me. I think I have received the end from the beginning that by your stripes I was healed. I am healed, and I refuse every sickness, every disease, every lie of the devil. And Lord, I just think that you're continuing to do a work in me. Hallelujah. And I'm just sticking with it. I'm keeping my eyes stayed on him the whole time. You are the author. You are the finisher. You are the perfecter of my faith. Hebrews 12:2 says, I'm going to stick with Jesus. I'm not turning loose of it. Glory to God. So again, how we bring this miracle, how we live this miracle today. Number one, bring your situation to Jesus. Even if you brought it 100 times before and you didn't get it, bring it again. Amen. Even if nothing has changed, praise God. Even if things may have gotten worse, you may have had another bad report on top of the one you already had. Amen. Others may have failed you, but bring it to Jesus. Again, stick with it. Again, be honest with him. Tell him, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling. Lord, I trust you, but I'm weary. He knows. Be honest with him. Tell him, talk to him. Now, don't use that as an excuse just to lay down and die. You know, Lord, I'm here today being honest with you, but I'm here to receive from you. Lord, and you may need to tell me, I need to straighten this, that, and the other out, and I may need to repent about some things. You know, whatever that is, Lord, clean me out. Show me, shine the light. Lord, I know you can, but I need the help. Honesty is not unbelief. Well, I don't want to make a bad confession. I'm not saying make a bad confession. I'm saying be honest with where you're at. He knows where you're at anyway. It'll do you wonders if you would just be honest with yourself. Be honest with him and say, Lord, I need to have a real conversation with you. He's not going to be discouraged. He's not going to be frowning. He's going to be, oh, finally, 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 we can get somewhere. Honesty is humility, and humility will always attract and receive the grace of God. Again, this is an invitation to come to Jesus with the faith that you have and allow him to develop your faith. Again, he's the author of it. He's the source of your faith, and he will see you all the way through to the end of it if you'll bring it to him, if you'll stay with him in it, just as he was with this man. So again, prayer and fasting is not a formula. It's a way of drawing near to the one who strengthens us in our inner man. We're tuning out every other voice. We're spending time in his word and in his presence. And expect Jesus. Again, you have to come in faith with an expectation. I'm expecting that Jesus, you're going to lift me up. Jesus, you're going to change this situation. You're going to encourage my faith. You're going to strengthen my family. You're going to reveal and manifest yourself in my future, in my destiny. I'm going to find out what the will of God is and fulfill it in my life. And I preached long enough, so let's stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did y'all get something out of that today? Hallelujah. Only believe. If you can believe, all things are possible. Yes, God is able. Yes, God is absolutely willing because he's already performed. Let's all stand. You got to help me now. I'm going to keep preaching. All things are possible, yes, but only to him who believes. It's not about what I can do. It's about what you can believe. Glory to God. Well, we quoted it a while ago, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 8. If you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen. So let's all pray this together. And let's invite Jesus into our life. Maybe you've already received him as your Savior, but I invite you today, stay with it. Invite him to, and receive him as Lord over every area of your life. I dare say each one of us, we have given him only a certain place in these different parts of our lives. I encourage you, make Jesus Lord over every aspect of your life. Invite him into every part of it and allow him to have his way in you and ultimately so he can have his way through you. Glory to God. So Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your son. Jesus, you are the Christ, my Savior, and I make you Lord over my life today. Jesus, come into my heart, take this life, and do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. From this day forward, I choose to live this life that you have now given me to the praise of your glory. Amen. Praise God. We believe according to the scripture. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. We call you brother. We call you sister. We invite you. If you're here in the Ogallala area, come and join us in a service. We'd love to meet you. If you live in somewhere else, go find you a solid Bible-believing, faith-preaching church. Go get plugged in. Go be a part of it. Praise God. In the meantime, we're going to be back here Wednesday night, fellowship, 6 o'clock, Friday prayer, 10 o'clock in the morning, and then back here on Sunday, 9:20 for pre-service prayer. Service starts at 10. In the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.